I can do all things, cause it's you who gives me strength. And nothing is impossible through you. Blind eyes are open and strongholds are broken. I'm so excited to worship with you guys this morning.
All right. Yeah.
Other people are excited too. Amen. Let's go. Man, it's so good to be here and to lift high the name of Jesus Christ together. Amen. Man, and that's what we want to do today. We want to lift high the name of Jesus, a name that is above all names, because He alone is worthy of it. He alone is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of all things. He's worthy of our worship because of it. But He's also the King that stepped down from His throne, came to earth, lived a perfect, sinless life, and allowed Himself to be crucified upon a cross for our sins and our mistakes so that we could have forgiveness, all because of His great love for us. And on the third day, he rose from the grave, conquering death and the grave for us. So we not only have forgiveness and hope, but we can have life abundantly here and life eternally with him. And so this morning we are here to lift high the name of Jesus together because he is worthy. And that's what we want to do, just invite you to come along with us as we worship him this morning. Come on.
Show us your power. song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you, oh Jesus. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you, oh Jesus. Yeah. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you, oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes.
Now
That's our prayer for all of us today, is that we would encounter the living God, that we'd be in his presence, and that we would be forever changed because of it, that we'd lay our lives down before him, ready to build our lives upon him, the unchanging, ever glorious and ever gracious God. And that's what we want this morning. We want your lives to be built up because of you being connected to Christ through worship, through the preaching of the word, and through the gathering of the people. And so in that heart, what I'd like you to do for just a minute is we want to be a family that gathers together to encourage one another in our faith, that helps push one another forward. So if you would take just a minute and turn to those just right around you, I want you to speak words of life and encouragement to one another.
Well, good morning, church. We'll try one more time. I know you're still greeting and welcoming and encouraging those around you. Well, good morning, church. It is so good to see you this morning. My name is Chase, and I'm the student pastor here at Ridgecrest, and we are so thankful that you are here today to worship with us. Many of you know this, but our 2018 theme is God First, and so we're excited that you're here today, and we desire and hope that you'll have the same desire as our staff, and we've talked about it over the last month of January, to put God first in all that you do. We have some bands, wristbands out back. Love for you to pick one of those up to wear as a reminder to continue through the year of 2018 to seek him first, Matthew 6:30. To seek God first in every aspect of our lives. And so that's happening in our church. There's a few other things this morning. If you're a guest of ours, maybe today's the first time you've been to Ridgecrest or the first time you've been here in a long time, I want to say a special welcome to you. You received a worship folder that looks like this on your way in, and on the very back of that worship folder, there's a guest card. We want to just get some information from you to get to know you better and be able to connect you to the life of our church. And so if you would take some time and fill that guest card out, and you can drop that card in the offering basket and just a minute, or you can take it to our welcome center, which are out these doors to my right here, and we have a gift bag for you. We would love for you to bring that guest card to the welcome center so we can put a face with a name and get to know you and tell you about what God's doing in our church. So if you're a guest, please take time to do that today. If you're a member or part of our family, you can use that card as well to write down prayer requests so that our staff and different people in our prayer team can pray for you. And so also, if you're a guest or if you're just looking for more information, there's a number that you can text. So I'd encourage you to look in your worship folder, find that number and text that number so that you can get plugged in. That's what we want you to be build together and connected together in our church body. A couple other things tonight. I encourage you to be back. Our pastor is wrapping up the Red Sea Rules we've been doing on Sunday evenings. We're wrapping it up in student ministry as well. So it's going to be a special evening as we continue to go through those 10 rules and see how God teaches us through that book and how he's done so in so many of our lives, I know. So I encourage you to be back tonight. And then also there's a lot of other information in this worship folder. Don't just throw it away on your way out. Take it home, put it on your refrigerator as a reminder of what God's doing so that you can be a part of those things. And so this time, as we continue our time of worship, today's a special day as we give, and I hope you've come prepared as we prove the tithe today. And so if you haven't, I want to encourage you to pray as I pray and ask that God would give you the strength to be obedient, just to give, not an extra offering, not an extra gift here, but just the being obedient to that 10%. And if you haven't been prepared yet this morning, do that. Love for you to, you can do that as we leave today or even in our services tonight. So love for you to pray and ask God to work in your heart in the area of giving. Let's pray together and we'll continue in worship. Father, thank you for this morning. God, what a blessing it is in the midst of life to step back and have just this thought that we can seek you first, that because of your love for us, you sent your son to give us life and to give us hope. And so God, today,
God, may we live with the desire and the strength to put you first in all that we do. God, I thank you for this theme, and I thank you for the desire of just our church family to be obedient in that. And so I pray that today. God, I pray that for over all the areas of our church, that you would continue as we seek you first to use our church to make you known to the nations. And as we think about giving, God, today, and we think about giving that offering back to you because you've given so richly to us and having a heart to be obedient and receive the blessings that you come in those areas, God, I pray that you would strengthen us all to be obedient to that area in the life of our giving. And so bless this offering now and use it to take our church, take your name to the people that we come in contact with. And so above everything, God, again, we thank you for your son, Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen.
That you are here today for a lot of reasons, one of which, of course, is the Lord wants to speak to you today and teach you some new things, but also because it is a special day as we obey God. And this isn't an extra thing that we're doing. You know, sometimes we do extra special offerings and that, but this is just an offering of obedience, your tithe. Some of you are tithing for the first time today, and I want to tell you something. I know you're probably a little bit anxious. You can trust God's word. I promise you that you're going to find that God is going to bless because you obey. And in just a few minutes, that's what I'm going to be talking about. That's even the topic of my message this morning, is obedience and blessing and how God works through our obedience to bring his blessing to our life. But one of the things I want to mention to you, kind of while you're getting settled and take your Bible and open up to Luke's Gospel chapter 5, is something really neat. Jonathan and Jennifer have been working on a CD. And it is now available. But here's the deal with this. Some of you helped them get there. You donated toward that. And by the way, they have a CD set aside for you. But others of you might want it. I've heard it. I've listened to it when it was, I downloaded it from their site, Ashes and Airs. And you can have this free. Now, if you want to donate, that will help them produce more. But they've got about 40-something of these. Are they in the foyer welcome center? And if you say, well, I don't have anything to give, take one. This is ministry, and they're going to do it. If you give something, they're going to put all of that back toward reproducing more of these. But they really have done a good job. And so these are available for you, and I hope that you will Super Bowl what? I hope you will get one of them. It's very good. Then I want to do something else, and that is I want to welcome some folks in. We've got a large audience today streaming. We're also now on Facebook Live, and we have interaction with people, and that's been pretty cool. But we've got people right now watching us as far away as California and some cities out there like San Francisco. We've had people watching us in the Bronx in New York. Indiana, Missouri, Kansas, they're in Florida watching us, Georgia, Mississippi, Washington, D.C. And by the way, hello, Jean Elizabeth. Thank you for tuning in, sweetheart. And so many people watching us around the country joining us. This is a really cool thing that God enables us to do and get His word out to people all over the country. And would you join me in welcoming them to our worship today? Would you do that? Well, we're in this series, God First. It is the theme of this first series that we've been doing and talking about, but really it is the theme for the entire year. It's kind of a launch theme for our year, God First, and I hope you've got some of the bracelets or one of the bracelets and you're wearing your bracelet. I'm starting to see these out in the community from people that don't even go here. And we're starting to get requests from people say, can I have one of the bracelets? Or can I have some of the bracelets? And so I want to tell you this. If you've got some people that want bracelets, pick them up, bracelets. And if we run out, we're going to order more. We're starting to get a little lower, but we've got them placed around the campus out in the Welcome Center. And that you know somebody that wants one, get them one, all right? And give them a God First bracelet. And then use it to remind yourself all through this coming year that our theme is make God first in everything. And I want to tell you this, it really is a life theme, isn't it? It's not like, okay, 2018, we make God first and then we quit. You know, it is make God first, but that's what we're going to be talking about in some form or fashion all through the years. And today, I'm wrapping up the series I've been in, but we're emphasizing approve the tithe. It's a way in which we say God is first in all of our resources. We've been talking about it all month, life management. We've been talking about, you know, God first in your time, God first with your gifts and your abilities, and God first in your treasure last week. And I'm not going to talk to you so much about your treasure today. I'm really going to talk to you about the blessing that comes with obedience. And we're proving that. That's why I call it prove the tithe. Again, not an extra offering, just a biblical obedient offering. And so we're proving that God has given us this freedom to do, and He's promised that if we would obey Him, He would bless us. He would open up the heavens and pour out a blessing. We sing that. I love that song that our band does. And God has said, if you will obey me, and by the way, it's not just financial. Here's what I want you to understand. What I'm going to talk to you about today, I want you to understand on a broader scale than just what we're doing in the offering. Just the regular offering. God wants you to understand that His blessing follows obedience, period. Whatever area of your life, His blessing follows obedience. And that's what I want to talk with you today, because people often want to know about obedience. By the way, I ran across something this week. I was working on a message from Billy Graham, Billy Graham's ministry, his organization. And they just released an article. For years, Billy Graham wrote a newspaper column called My Answer. And what he would do is thousands of people send them questions all the time. And so he would take a question and he would answer it biblically. And so they just released at the end of the year, really the first of January, that the top five questions that Dr. Billy Graham was asked this past year. The top five questions this past year. And I thought it was interesting. Listen, here they are. He says, the number one question Dr. Graham was asked, are we living in the last times? I'm not going to give you all the answers. Those, you can go on his site and you can see the answers. The number two top question was, what is the rapture? Number three was, what happens the first minute after we die? Number four was, is it okay for a Christian's body to be cremated? And number five was this, as a Christian, do I have to tithe? And since that's our emphasis today, I thought it was interesting to hear what Dr. Graham said. This is what he says. I believe that is the biblical principle of giving. It is the obedient principle of giving. And I quote, he said, we have found, that means him and his family and his wife, Ruth, she's in heaven now, but he said, we have found in our own home, as have thousands of other people, that God's blessing upon the nine-tenths when we tithe helps the nine-tenths go farther than the ten-tenths without the tithe and blessing. And so I just remind you, if you're starting out on this journey today, you're going to discover something incredible, and that is that God's word is true, and His promises He will honor. And so I'm excited about that. And it proves not only who God is, but it proves when we do it that we take serious the responsibility we have to obey him. Listen to what some of some very godly and influential believers have said about this matter of obeying God in all areas of life. Chuck Colson said, obedience is the key to real faith. George Mueller, y'all know, you've heard me talk about George Mueller. George Mueller, you need to read about George Mueller, but he said this, 9/10 of the difficulties in our life are overcome when our hearts are ready to do the Lord's will, whatever that may be. When one is truly in this state of doing the Lord's will, it is usually but a little way to the knowledge of what God wants them to do. Dr. Alan Redpath, a great preacher and teacher and scholar, said this, there's some task which the God of all the universe, the great creator, your Redeemer in Jesus Christ, there's some task he has for you to do, and which will remain undone and incomplete until by faith and obedience you step into the will of God. Dr. John MacArthur said, the true faith is never seen as passive. It is always obedient. Dr. A.B. Simpson said this, the safe place lies in obedience to God's word, singleness of heart, and holy vigilance. And Dr. Harry Ironside, and this is my favorite, he says, no one ever lost out by excessive devotion to Jesus. You see, obedience demonstrates that Christ is Lord and that he's Lord of our lives. And in fact, that obedience to God is linked to God's blessing. Samuel, the great man of God, when it came time for him, he knew that God would call him home soon, and he gave a farewell address to the people of God. And listen, it's interesting. These were his closing remarks to the people of God. Listen to what he said. He said, if you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, and if both you and the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God, listen to this, it will be well with you. That's what he said to God's people before God called him home. This great, great prophet of God, he said, listen, if you will obey God, he said, it will be well with you. There is a link, you see, between obedience and the blessing of God. And today, one of the ways that we are proving our obedience is through doing what God's word tells us to do, and that is by tithing. I use that as means of illustration. And he said, if you'll test me and prove me in this, then I will bless you. But that's just one area of blessing. I mean, here's what I mean by that. That principle works across the board. For example, if you want God to bless in your vocation, guess what you have to do? You have to do your vocation in a manner which honors God. So whatever area you want God to bless in, you have to obey him in that area. I had a young man who sat in my office some years back, and he was distraught. He sat in my office, tears were streaming down his face, and this is what he said to me. He said, Pastor, he said, I want to please God with my life. But he said, I'm struggling right now with what's going on in my life. He said, my live-in girlfriend for the past 7 years walked out on me for another man. And he said, all I wanted was for God to bless our relationship. And I really thought this was the one for me. And he said, I don't know what's wrong, and I don't know why God did this to me. And I let him finish, and I said, really? I said, how can you expect God to bless something he's already told you he can't bless? He said, what are you talking about? I said, well, you're in a relationship in a way that is contrary to how God has defined relationships should be conducted. Why would God bless it that way? He said, well, I never thought about that. He said, I just came out of home, and he said, my parents divorced, and he said, I just decided that I wanted to test everything before I made a commitment. I said, I know that sounds real noble and everything, but I said, there was no commitment whatsoever. And I said, she exercised her option of no commitment when a better option came along. And I said, you can never, I use that only as an example to say, you can never expect God to bless in an area of your life that you're not doing God's way. It's absurd. If you're not obeying him, why would he bless? So whatever area of your life you want the blessing of God in, do it God's way. And then God has the freedom to bless and honor your life. And in the passage that I want us to look at this morning, I want to show you three powerful precepts that I believe will help you understand the link between obedience and blessing. If you're physically able to do so, why don't you stand with me this morning as we read our text, Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Follow along with me if you will. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. That's Galilee. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Well, getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered and said, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Father, thank you for this marvelous passage. It teaches, Father, truths that transform us right now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. And you can be seated. Well, the occasion of this story is actually what we call the first calling of the disciples. In fact, you may look in your Bible, there may be some notation there in your Bible that says the calling of the very first disciples or something like that. This is what we typically read this passage and talk about. In fact, I've preached about that. I've preached this passage many times over the year, but I want to show you some insights there because there's so much more than just the calling of the first disciples here. And I want to show you from this passage three precepts that teach us what following Christ and making God first is all about. So the first thing I want you to note from the passage is this. Obedience has a requirement. Obedience, I mean, is a requirement for the blessing of God. We're talking about the link between God's blessing. The first thing is that there's a requirement. The requirement for God's blessing begins with obedience. You can see this all through the scripture, but this passage reveals that as well. Verse 5, Peter says, "But at your word," what? "I'll put down my nets, even though I fished all night, caught nothing, but because you tell me to put down my nets, I will obey your word." Now, initially, Peter was reluctant, wasn't he? And you can understand it. Could you understand that? I mean, they know a little bit. Peter probably already had some knowledge of who Jesus was. His reputation was growing by this stage, and people were starting to kind of follow Jesus around. There's evidently a pretty good sizable crowd here because Jesus has to get in the boat and kind of form a natural theater and move out into the water just so he can communicate with the crowd that is there. Peter probably already understood a little bit about his reputation. This was when it was cool to follow Jesus. And so people were following him. Peter, James, John, these fishermen, they had most likely heard about Jesus but didn't understand the full magnitude of who he was. But there was something compelling about his word when he said, "I want you to do this, Peter. I want you to put your nets back out." Now, this is after Jesus had already taught the people. Most scholars say that this was the backside of the teaching setting. So they had finished, you know, Jesus had finished his message to the people, teaching them the word of God. And then he turns to Peter and he says, "Peter, I want you to put your nets down." Peter reluctantly says, "Well, you know." Now, there are a couple of thoughts I would share with you about that whole thing, because we're sometimes reluctant, right? Has God ever spoken to your heart about something you kind of resisted because it just didn't make sense to you? It just didn't fit with with what you thought you ought to do or should do. It was kind of an unreasonable thing, and you felt compelled by God to do it, but you were a little reluctant. So I want to tell you something. Reluctance should always give in to obedience. Reluctance should always give in to obedience. And we need to have this desire to do whatever God wants us to do, no matter what the obstacles or even how hopeless the situation may seem. When you'd fished all night and you caught nothing, and Jesus says, put your nets down again, you had just cleaned your nets, by the way, and you're tired. They fish typically in the evening there. They were tired. You know what they did? They wanted to go home. They wanted probably to go rest. Jesus says, put your nets down. Well, Jesus, you know, we fished all night. We haven't taken anything. But there's something compelling about your word. So reluctance gave in to obedience. Richard Baxter, who was a famed preacher from a couple of centuries ago, made this statement. It's a good, and we ought to be able to say this too. Lord, whatever you want, wherever you want it, and whenever you want it, that's what I want. Lord, whatever you want, whenever you want it, and wherever you want it, that's what I want. So, reluctance should always give in to obedience. But here's a second thought for you, and that is, when we're drawn to Christ, we desperately need to obey our heart and obey it immediately. When we feel the tug of the Spirit of God, we desperately need to obey our heart, and we need to obey it immediately. You know what I found out? That God usually tugs here before he fits here. He usually tugs on our hearts before he tugs on our heads. And the reason a lot of folks have missed the power of God in their life, and a lot of folks have missed God completely, is because they're waiting for God to fit in here for them. And sometimes that just doesn't happen until much later on. Can God fit in there? First of all, no. But he can fit in here. And so when there's the tug of God upon your heart, obey that immediately. Obedience means that I obey the promptings of the Spirit, whether they make reasonable sense to me or not. If the Spirit of God is tugging, I must obey. Obedience that is blessed says a couple of things. Obedience that is blessed says, God, I trust your word more than my experience. I trust your word more than my experience. You see, they had fished all night, hadn't they? And there was nothing. But yet, the word of God, they were at least smart enough to say, there's something different about Jesus, and when he speaks and when he tells us something, we're going to do it. These men who knew what they were doing said, our experience argues against us doing what Jesus is saying. And I want to tell you, a lot of times, you and I firmly believe we miss out on the blessing of God, not just because his word doesn't make complete sense to us, but also because our past experience argues against what God tells us. Well, God, you know, I did that, I tried that, nothing worked, and now you want me to do. And sometimes we miss the power of God in our life because we look back at some past experience and say, God, you didn't show up there. We did what you're talking about doing right now. I want to tell you something. Listen, with God, just because something has never happened in your life before does not mean God cannot, will not, or doesn't want to do something right now. We miss his miracles because of our past experience and our lack of trust in his word. You know, when Jesus returned to Nazareth, Nazareth was the city he grew up in, and it says in Mark chapter 6 that he returned there and he couldn't do any miracles there. You know why he couldn't do any miracles there? Because of their unbelief, it says. He marveled at their unbelief. You know what they said? Ah, we know who he is. We've had a past experience with him. We've seen him around. He grew up here in this village, and now he's going to do miracles here. And the Bible says he couldn't do miracles there. Why? Because of their unbelief. We have to be careful that we don't let our past experience with something prevent us from trusting God in the present to do something new. But let me tell you something else. Obedience also says, not only do I trust your word more than my experience, it also says, I trust your word more than my expertise. Peter was a professional fisherman. He knew how to catch fish. And man, they just weren't biting. He knew how to catch fish. We had a couple in our church. They've since moved away, and he's a professional bass fisherman. I grew up bass fishing. I love to fish for bass. And he said, "Pastor, let me take you bass fishing." And so I finally set aside the time. We went bass fishing. It was a horrible day of fishing. But he was a pro. He's a professional. And so we ended up catching about 15 largemouth. Well, to me, that was a wonderful day. Because I'd never been on, even growing up, I'd never caught 15 in a day. He just knew how to find fish when you couldn't find fish, and it was a bad day. He was so disappointed. He apologized. He said, "Pastor, if you'll go again with me, I promise you we'll catch fish." By the way, I did. About 3 months later, we went to this place, about 100-acre lake, and we started fishing at 7 o'clock, and by 4 o'clock, we'd caught over 100 largemouth. My arms were sore. They were 4- and 5-pounders. It was an incredible day. The boat was sinking. We had so many fish in there. But he's a professional. He knew what to do and when to do it. I want to tell you something. Peter was a professional fisherman. His expertise, and Jesus said, Jesus is a teacher, right? He's a Bible teacher. Peter didn't have a lot of relationship at this stage with Jesus. Jesus is a teacher. He's used my boat for a stage, and that's okay. Now our nets are clean. We want to go home. We're tired. And now he wants us to put our nets back in. We know fishing. I want to tell you something. Here's why I tell you that. You miss a lot of the power of God in your life if you rely on your expertise. Now, I didn't say God can't use your expertise. He does. But you have to be careful. When Jesus tells you something that goes against the grain of your professionalism or your expertise, always default to Jesus. And you see, if he had just said, "Well, I'm a pro, Jesus, you're a pro at the word of God, but I'm a pro at fisherman." He could have refused the request because it appeared to be unreasonable. Now, sometimes obedience means we must do what isn't reasonable to us. And so we have to understand that we have to trust God's word and obey it even when the word of God seems to contradict our experience or our expertise. Always default to Jesus. And that leads me to the second thing I want you to see this morning, the second precept in this passage, and that is, I want you to notice the reward of obedience. We find it in verses 6 and 7. Because he did that, what happened? Well, it says their nets were breaking. And not only were their nets breaking, it says they signaled to their partners to come help. You know, we often talk about the cost of discipleship. I've talked to you a lot about that. I've preached a lot about the price you have to pay sometimes to follow Christ. We talk about that. We believe that. And we know it's worth hearing. But you know, we talk about the cost of discipleship, but oftentimes we don't talk about the reward of discipleship. And so what happens is we go out and we say, "I'm going to be a disciple. It's going to be costly and it's going to be painful, but I love Jesus and I'm going to follow." Okay. But we ought to go out and say, yeah, there's a cost involved, but there is a reward. And the reward is worth the cost. And here's what Jesus is doing. He rewards their obedience. He rewards Peter's obedience. There was a cost involved. He's going to have to put his nets down. He's going to have to re-clean the nets and all of that kind of stuff to obey. But he does it, and God rewards him. I want to tell you something. If we for a moment could be transported into heaven, into the presence of God, and we could meet some of the great saints of Hebrews 11, or just name them, people you've known that followed and were devoted to Christ and they obeyed God all their life. And in heaven, here's what you're going to find. You're not going to find them standing around saying, "I wish I hadn't obeyed God so much." You're not going to find people up there saying, "Gosh, you know, that obedience thing cost." They're going to say, "Look at the reward of obedience. Look at the reward of obedience." There's a link between obedience and the blessing of God. Now, we might have to, and I don't have time to talk about it in this message, we might have to redefine what blessing means and make sure we have the right definition of blessing. But some people miss blessing in their life, and the reason is really because of not believing and not obeying. And here's the reason why so many people miss the blessing of God. Because they get you've heard the adage, the cart before the horse. Here's what people do. They say, God, if you will bless me, I will follow you. God, if you will bless me, I will obey you. God, bless me so I know I can trust you. Bless me so I know to obey you. Now, look, we're all smart people in here, so we probably don't do that or say that overtly, but a lot of times in life we operate that way. I know what God has said, but if he would just give me a sign, if he would just bless me up front so I could know, yes, I'm going to follow God. But God doesn't work that way. Jesus said, to him that seeks a sign, no sign will be given. God doesn't work that way. Here's the link between obedience and blessing. It's not blessing and obedience. It's obedience and blessing. You notice the title? You notice that? That's on purpose. I didn't say blessing and obedience, because that's what we typically think. God blesses and we obey. No, no, no. God wants you to obey so he can bless. God didn't give them the fish first. He gave them after Peter said, okay, at your word, I'm going to do what doesn't make sense to me, having fished all night, and I'm going to obey you. And afterwards, Jesus said, got something for you. You remember when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? Y'all remember that story? Lazarus came back from the dead. He had two sisters, Mary and Martha, and Martha struggled. She's a lot like us. I think that's why we hear a lot about Martha in that story. She's a lot like us, and she struggled. And she said, you know, Lord, or she called him Master. She said, Master, our brother's died. And if you'd have been here, he would have been okay. Now, they did believe Jesus had power, right? That if he had been there, he could have made him well, and he wouldn't have had that issue. That Jesus would have fixed him. But Jesus didn't get there on time. The Bible says, by the way, Jesus didn't get there on time on purpose. And when he shows up, he said, Master, if you'd just been here, our brother would still live. And you know what Jesus said to her? Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? She said, Lord, you could have done the blessing on the front instead of the back if you'd have been. And Jesus said, listen, I told you, if you will believe, you will see the glory of God. And a lot of times, and there are people here this morning, and you're struggling because God wants you to do something, and you're struggling to do it because you feel like, if I just had a sign to do it, and God's already said, I've given you my word, follow my word, obey me, and then you'll see the blessing. But we say, God bless us so we can follow you. We want to see the glory of God so that we can believe, but God is trying to get us to believe and to obey so that we can see and be blessed. Peter's obedience and belief on the front side of Jesus' word rewarded him on the backside with blessing. You see, Peter's obedience produced results. His obedience caught fish. Now, I know he's a professional fisherman, but he had tried it his way, and he didn't catch anything. So I want you to get something. It wasn't his skill that caught fish that day. His obedience caught fish. Because he obeyed, it just so happened, the creator of fish. The creator of fish, and the creator of fish says, I can make the fish jump in the boat. Think about that. Put your nets down. I can make them jump in the boat. And it began, the boats began to sink. I've been out on boats like on the Sea of Galilee that they fish from. They've got replica boats today, and when we take tours over there, we go out there and on the Sea of Galilee, and they fish. They actually do the net thing, and they fish like they fished. Now, just like in those days, we set out from Capernaum where Peter and them were based, and you go out and all that sort of stuff, and you see it. I mean, you can see how they'll show you how they fished. Peter was the pro, but it wasn't his skill that caught the fish. It was his obedience that caught fish. And by the way, the catch wasn't an ordinary catch. Did you notice that? It wasn't an ordinary catch. And I want to just remind you of something. It is not unusual for God to reward ordinary faith with extraordinary results. Right? Ordinary faith. We wouldn't have called Peter at this stage this great pillar of faith, would we? But he demonstrated faith when he said, at your word, I'll put down the nets. And by the way, let me tell you what obedience is. Obedience is a faith response to the word of God. And that's why faith is generated here, not here. Faith is, obedience is a faith response to the instruction of God. And God doesn't need much. You remember the story of the man who came to Jesus and said, would you heal this family member of mine if you can? And Jesus looked at him and said, if I can. And Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believes. You remember what the man said? I believe. Help my unbelief. You know what he's saying? He said, I believe. I got a little bit. I got a little bit. It's not very strong faith. And guess what? Jesus healed this family member. You see, Jesus can take ordinary faith and do extraordinary things with it. And that's what he does here. He rewards them with this incredible catch. And note two things. There's a personal blessing involved. There's a personal blessing and reward. Peter's boat was full. This is what they did. And you know what? God said, I'm gonna show you how to fish. And he rewarded his obedience with a catch that was beyond anything he'd ever experienced. In fact, the truth is, he probably had so much in that boat, he could probably lived off of it the rest of the year. That much fish. His nets were filled. Peter's nets were filled. And it reminded me of John 10:10 that says, the thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. You know what that word abundantly, those were Jesus' words. You know what the word abundantly means in the Greek? It means excessive. It means overflowing. It means uncontainable. You know what Jesus said? I've come, if you will trust me, if you will walk in my ways, in my will, he said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Excessive. Overflowing. And that's why, even as we go back to the emphasis that we've had for this day of prove the tithe, I just remind you, Malachi 3:10, where Jesus said, bring the tithe into the storehouse. I want to show you the connection between obedience and blessing. Bring the tithe into the storehouse. And then he says, the Lord says, and see if I will not pour out a blessing so great, see, that you cannot contain it. So, thought number one is that God rewards obedience with personal blessing. But I want you to see thought number two is that there is also the reward of overflow blessing. Overflow blessing. What happened? I was so excited when I read this passage. I preached this passage so many times, but I never thought about these things until I started. And God does that. It's just so wonderful when God does that kind of thing. He starts to, look at the overflow blessing. Here's what I want you to get. When God blesses you, he generally blesses others through the overflow of your obedience. Your family, people around you are blessed because of your obedience. And we see that in there. Remember what happened? Y'all tell me, do you get it? Remember, Peter's nets are breaking, his boat's filling up. So what did Peter do? He says what? Hey, partners, get your boat over here. And then both boats began to sink. Overflow blessing. You see, your obedience doesn't just affect you. It affects everyone around you and everyone connected to you. You know, one of the reasons I want to obey God is so that his blessing will be on the generations that come behind us here. One of the reasons I want you to obey God is so that the blessing of God will be on this church and on your family for generations to come. I hope that those who come behind us here one day will say, why is God so good to our church? Why is God so good to Ridgecrest? And I want them to be able to look back and say, well, it was because there were some people, you, there were some people that got it. They loved God, and they had a shepherd that loved God, and he led them in the ways of God. And so God brought his blessing on them, and from them it's been passed on from generation to generation to us. And I want to tell you something else. I want to obey God personally, not just for the sake of this church, but for the sake of my own family, so that the blessing of God will rest upon my family and upon grandkids and upon great-grandkids if Jesus doesn't return. I want the blessing to be passed passed on from generation to generation. And who knows, down the road, some years, some generations to come, some great, great, great grandkid will say, why do you think God has been so good to our family? And they'll say, I don't know for sure. But you see, we had this pastor shepherd in our family line back many generations ago. And he loved God and he obeyed God and God blessed him and blessed what he did. And it's been passed on to us from generation to generation. I want to tell you something. The Bible teaches that you can pass the blessing on. I want to tell you something else. I mean, I want it to be true of you. I want it to be true of this church. Long after we're gone, I want it to be true. And I want to tell you something else. But just like you can pass the blessing on, you can pass the curse on too. You know, the Bible says the father sinned and the children's teeth were set on edge. The Bible says visiting the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generations. So you can pass a disobedient curse on too. How do you break that, by the way? Just a little footnote. How do you break that? You know how you break that? You make God first today in your life. God, that's how you break the curse, because you may be living saying, somebody passed the curse on to me. You say, but God, I'm going to break the curse because I'm going to pass the blessing on and I'm going to make you first in my life. That's how you break the curse and pass on the blessing. I wish I had more time to talk about that. But you can pass it on. And we want someday people sitting in here that don't even know us, but the power of God to be in this place and upon them. Wow. The bottom line is that God rewards and blesses obedience and he curses disobedience. So what do you want? What do you want? It's not rocket science, is it? I mean, to ask that question is to answer it. So, all right, let me finish up. So we see the requirement of obedience, faith in the Word of God. We see the reward of obedience to us and to others around us. And last, I want you to see the revelation of obedience. Verses 8 and 9 point to that. You know what Peter said when he saw, really experienced who God was? It says he fell down at his knees and said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord. And it says all the people around, when they saw the kind of catch, including James and John, were astonished. There's a couple of revelations that happened. You see, obedience does something. It brings us into a new sense of the presence of God. And when you get into the presence of God, guess what else you have? You have a new awareness. You have a new awareness, first of all, of who you are. Obedience reveals who we are. When you get into the presence of God, obedience helps get you into the presence of God. You become newly sensitized to the truth of God, and obedience reveals who you really are. Peter became aware of his condition. Did you notice that? He said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. Not only was he aware of his condition, he was aware of his need. And the fact is, an obedient response to Jesus causes us to see things like they really are. You get close enough to Jesus, he'll start cleaning the junk up in your life because he'll show it to you and you'll recognize it as junk. And you'll want to live in his presence so much that you'll want to deal with the junk that's in your life. And so he looked and saw his condition. That's the first step, by the way, in transformation. And can I just say this today? If you're here and you've never had the realization of your condition, that is, a sinner in need of a Savior, today when we close out here, I'm going to be down front. Would you come and say, I want to be a sinner that has been saved because of the grace of God? I want Jesus to be my Savior. You may be here and you've been extremely and entirely religious all your life. But I want to tell you something. Religion won't get you into the kingdom. There were plenty of religious people back here. And Jesus called them whitewashed tombs. He called them a brood of vipers. They had the outward religious practice, but there was nothing on the inside. And if you don't have Christ on the inside, you don't have a relationship with God. But you can by calling upon him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. in just a few minutes, not long, I'm going to be down there, and I would invite you to come and say, I want to trust Christ as my Savior. I'm tired of religion. I've been playing too much religion. I don't want religion. I want relationship with God. That's transforming. And it's the first step. But secondly, I want you to see obedience not only reveals who you are, obedience reveals who God is. Right? Because it says they were astonished, right? Obedience not only helps you see yourself, it enables you to see the power of God. They were astonished. They were amazed. They were in awe of the power of Christ. Obedience gives us access to power, not ours. It gives us access to the power of God. You may be saying, well, I don't have seen much power of God in my life. It may be that you're not obeying God. Obedience is what brings us in. And I want to tell you something. Jesus will speak to you. You get close enough to Him, Jesus will talk to you. He will speak to you. He's given you a book that He talks out of, and He'll speak to you. And when He speaks to you and you say, yes, Lord, and you obey that, guess what? You have a new awareness of you, but you put yourself in a place to see the very power of God, miracles even on your behalf. His power operates through you and for you when you trust Him and you obey Him. I'm convinced that we don't see a lot of miracles in our life because we don't understand this, that the blessing is associated with the obedience. So you see, obedience really is, it's very significant to God, and so it has to be to us. Luke and Karis have a dog. It's, I don't know, I can't ever remember what it, a golden doodle or something like that. It's a designer dog. And some of you probably have that too. It's a new kind of thing, you know, you can get a custom bred dog. And they do, and it's a sweet dog. And Luke has been real determined to train this dog. We always like to see dogs that are obedient. He was showing me something before Christmas with the dog. He said, watch this, Mr. Ray. He said, I can tell the dog, the dog's name is Harper. Harper, stay. And he'd throw food out there and say, stay. And the dog's looking at the food going. But it sits there until he says, and he'll wait, and he'll say, okay. Whoa! I mean, it's fascinating. I thought, well, that's good. I could never train our terrorist to do that, you know, the little three-pound thing. It would never do that. But he, I thought, man, that's brilliant. He's really into teaching it commands and to obey. And that reminded me of a story I heard about a man who lost his dog. He was heartbroken. He lost his dog in a forest fire. True story. And he was telling another guy about how he lost it. And what happened is he worked outdoors. This guy worked outdoors, and he would often take the dog with him. And so they were in the forest, and they were in this little cleared area, and he set his lunch pail down, and he needed to go a little further into the forest. And he told the dog, he gave the dog command to stay there with his lunch and watch over his lunch. And he went a little further in, and before he came back, a fire had started in the forest in that general area over there. And it, but before he could get back, it had moved to that place where the dog was, and the dog never moved. It stayed put and gave its life for the command of his master. He was heartbroken, as you can imagine. And he said this. With tearful eyes, he said, you know, I always had to be careful what I told my dog to do because I knew he would do exactly what I told him. I want to ask you this morning, is God able to say of you, I know when I tell him or her to do something, that they will do exactly what I say. You know, there are people here today, and God's been trying to get you to do something, to obey Him for a long time, and you've resisted. And by the way, that's dangerous because eventually God will quit and stop talking to you if you're not doing what He's telling you to do. But I would just say, if you've been resisting, it's time to get rid of the resistance and the reluctance. And like Peter say, at your word, not because I think it makes sense, but at your word, I will do what you are saying. It's time to stop resisting and to start doing. You want His blessing, you got to obey on the front end. And by the way, did you notice the last statement? Look at the last statement there, verse 11. When they brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed Him. Did you notice it didn't say they lost everything? It said they left everything. And some places you'll find it, in other gospels, it says immediately they left everything. The picture is as soon as the boats got back. Now think about this. They left all those fish. They didn't say, tell you what, Jesus, we'll hook up with you about 2 days from now. We're going to get these fish processed. We're going to put the results in the bank account, and then we'll meet up with you. It says they left everything. Did you get that? Everything. But I want to say to you, they didn't lose everything. They left everything in order to find the better things of the kingdom of God. One day, if you know Christ, we're going to be in heaven with these people. I don't know how it all works there in terms of conversation. I think we'll know who is who. And you won't ever imagine that Peter and James and John are walking around because, they're actually going to have an exalted position alongside Jesus. But I think we'll have conversation with them. But, I want to give you some counsel now before you get there. I wouldn't walk up to Peter or James and John and say, you regret obeying Jesus and leaving everything? Because you know exactly what the answer is. No one that's ever left anything for Jesus will regret it one day in heaven. No one. And that's why it's so important that we obey. It's time perhaps for some of you to leave behind the old things and discover the new things. You know where that comes from? It comes from this relationship with Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, the old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. They didn't lose everything. They left the old things for the new things of the kingdom of God. Thomas a Kempis, a great saint of many decades ago, said, instant obedience is the only kind of obedience there is. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Whoever strives to withdraw from obedience withdraws from God's grace. Obey God right now. Father, thank you for the richness of this story. Thank you, Lord, for the example of Peter, James, and John. Thank you, Father, for leaving this story where we can wrap our hearts and minds around it. But now, God, I pray that it won't just be a story that we enjoy, but I pray it will be truth that transforms us. Lord, let us be like them and say, whatever, whenever, wherever, yes. Lord, help us to make sure we're more concerned about obeying than blessing. Help us to get the order right, obedience to blessing. And Lord, I pray for any that are in this place today that have never given their heart to you, that they will start there and get the blessing of a new life in Jesus Christ. Like some have already done, Father, I pray that you'll move in the hearts of this moment. And then, Lord, for some that are here that need family, a faith family, today I pray that they'll come and connect with this faith family so that they can sharpen one another in faith. In Jesus' name, speak. Amen. Would you stand with me for our invitation time? I'll just put it right here. Our invitation time. I'm going to be here. Many of you know what that is. Our staff's going to be here. You say, why do you do that sort of thing? Do you have to do that? Well, no, you don't have to do that. But Jesus said this. He calls us publicly. If you read through there, that was a public calling, wasn't it? And Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. So that's why we say, come and make a public commitment, whether it is to come and say, I know Christ and I just need a church family. I want to join this one. I think you ought to come and join this church. We're not perfect, but we're healthy. And if you don't have a church home, what you waiting for? Come on. If you are here, though, and you say, well, I'm not sure I'm saved, then today, why don't you settle that? Don't walk out of here with a question mark saying, I'm kind of religious, but I don't know if I've ever been related. Listen, don't walk out of here. Don't leave that way, because you don't know if you'll ever get back here, and you don't know if the Spirit of God will ever quicken your heart to receive Him again. And so in just a moment, we begin to sing, you slip out, you come this way. Maybe you want to come and kneel and pray around this altar. We put it there for that. It's not a looks altar. It's a used altar. Come and use it. Talk to Him. Whatever it is, make God first. Let Him have His way in your heart. You ready? As the band leads us right now. Come on, balcony, ground floor. Come on, right now.